Alex Morgan, striker and tea-drinking American soccer star. Play for Portland Thorns, Orlando Pride, Western New York Flash and Lyon. Winner of two US Women's Championships, the Women's Champions League, an Olympic gold and two Women's World Cups. Fifth highest US national team scorer of all time with 107 goals, that's a lot. Has very recently signed for Tottenham Hotspur Women. Mates with Taylor Swift, which is something Grant Holt can't say. And of course, author, but let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
I actually kept finding myself thinking, oh, I wish I'd read this when I was a little girl. How sad is that?
Same. Western New York Flash. That sounds like a regional superhero.
And then she goes to her mantras and you think they're going to be along them lines. And then number one is never look a goalkeeper in the eye, like they're bears or something.
It's basically a handbook for American teenage girls. So let's see what four disenchanted, almost 30-year-old Brits think about it. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! No, you can yay. Everyone gets one yay for the rest of the show.
And I've used it up before I knew about that rule. Okay, it's like challenges in tennis.
Yeah, exactly. Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read yet another obscure footballer's autobiography. Less Bronte, more Conte. I'm James Bug, and over the weeks we'll be reading classics such as Kevin Kilbane's Killer, and Teddy Sheringham's My Autobiography. But today, we're reading Alex Morgan's Breakaway Beyond the Goal. And reading it with me are Jack Bernhardt.
Hi.
Natasha Daniels.
Hello.
And James Balgin.
Hello, I am here.
Glad to see everyone's on board. Yes. How are we doing, guys? We excited to read our first ever women's football book.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Big fans of women's football?
Yeah.
I am. I because it's the only place where Arsenal are good.
Really. Anymore. Any memories of Alex Morgan? That makes it sound like she's passed.
Yeah. Alex Morgan. The only memory I can remember of Alex Morgan is the tea drinking. It made me irrationally angry, the tea drinking, that I was genuinely coming into this book being like, you drank the tea. You drank the tea, Alex Morgan. How dare you? As a reference to the Boston Tea Party.
I thought she was just making fun of English people drinking
tea. No, it was the Boston Tea Party thing, because then afterwards, I looked this up, like loads of soccer watchers were like, oh my God, the England, what an L for them. They haven't lost this badly since 1776, am I right? And it was incredibly annoying.
Men's football isn't quite as highbrow as that.
Weirdly, I think it is, because I think you have that whole like two World Cups, two World Wars and one World Cup side of things.
Women have to use actual history because there's not much football history. So that's the difference, I guess.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I see. Is it anyone doing like English team like doing like Guy Fawkes celebrations?
Well, we got you at the Battle of Agincourt, mate.
I kind of remember her Taylor Swift thing, because they have the affinity for number 13. So Taylor Swift famously hides the number 13 in everything, and it's her lucky number. And
okay.
That's Alex Morgan's number, for reasons which become apparent when you read the book. And they bonded. And the reason that they became such good friends is they bonded over the number 13.
But Taylor hates it and Alex loves it.
No, they both love it.
Oh, sorry, but I thought you said Taylor hides it.
Oh, she hides it in her, like, all of her albums.
I thought you meant, like, she gets rid of the number like Ryanair do with Rose on Planes. Anyway, this book, as we all found out, is basically a handbook for American teenage girls. So let's see what four disenchanted, almost 30-year-old Brits think about it.
It was pretty early on in this book where it was like, you may soon be going to college. College may be several years away. And I was like, or it may be 12 years in my past.
The best years of your life may be long behind you.
Are you now on a list provided to us?
Yeah, technically I borrowed this book off James, so I'm not going on any list.
Oh, okay.
Dang it. But thank you for bringing up Amazon, Tash. Very good linking. Let's see what Amazon's saying. And prepare yourself, guys. We've got a big number coming up for you. The book has 4.8 stars. That's not the big number. That's pretty big. From 216 reviews.
No way.
Wow.
the most, I mean, like, didn't, was it Marcus Hanneman had no reviews, I think?
Yeah.
That kind of true. Shows the level of respect towards US men's football and US women's football.
Well, I think, I mean, it's worth saying that clearly Alex Morgan is the most successful footballer we've ever done, and also the most successful person.
As we spoke about this privately, and I said, never bring this up. No, I didn't.
I said, do not embarrass me in front of the microphones.
I mentioned Louis Saha was the one who... is it Louis Saha I said? Graham Souness was the one I mentioned.
She's won two World Cups.
He's won three Champions Leagues.
No.
She's won a Champions League.
He plays for Scotland. He plays for Scotland. Let him off.
She has
Are you saying she's more iconic than George Best for that reason, for example?
But she has 4.8 million Twitter followers.
George Best is dead. He died before Twitter.
No Twitter followers, so...
I don't think we can judge footballing success on how many Twitter followers they have.
I think her cultural impact is enormous.
Yeah.
I would agree. Graham Souness isn't mates with Taylor Swift, so I would say that we know of.
Maybe Taylor Swift judged the Body Beautiful competition in 1972 or whenever it was.
I'm pretty sure Graham Souness does turn up in the Bad Blood video. He just gives someone a Glasgow kiss, Ellie Goulding, and walks off.
He would definitely be on the Katy Perry team, wouldn't he?
Oh,
yeah, I think that's right, definitely. Actually. I could see him as a Katy Perry fan. He's a kitty cat. Anyway, here's a 4-star review from Nick entitled OK, which reads as expected. And just to balance, here's a 5-star review from Sebastian titled Price. And it reads, wow. I think that tells you all you need to know about the book, I would say.
Entitled Price?
Yeah. He was very impressed by the price. Yeah.
The price? How much was it?
I can't.
I mean, it could have been any price when he bought it. That's the thing. Prices change a lot. Sometimes low, sometimes high.
It was $700. Wow.
Okay. We're gonna go into more depth about the book. We'll be doing a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, and of course, Ken Zong is back with another chant. But first, let's go around the group in a sentence or two. What did you think of the book? James?
I really liked it because it was so different from what we usually read. And
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It was like, because obviously predominantly they focus on international football, soccer.
Sure.
And that's their sort of goal, isn't it, in their career?
Mm-hmm.
To break into the national team. And it's all kind of centered around that. So it made it quite a bit different.
We've read a lot of books where it's been people working their way up the like English Football League pyramid, basically.
Yeah.
And obviously it's very different over there with the college football and all that. It's interesting.
Yeah, a lot of stuff about that. I can't confess to understanding much about...
Nope.
I don't know loads about women's football. I don't know loads about the college system in America either. But I found it interesting reading about it. Jack, you enjoyed it, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I did enjoy it, actually. I really enjoyed it. Again, for that same reason as James, it was just totally different to what we've done previously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way that... I mean, what's interesting about her experiences is that, you know, she talks about the fact that she went through three different league systems that have folded as she was going on. So she grew up with the women's, I can't remember what it was called, the Women's Football League that was happening. Then she got drafted as part of the college for the Women's Professional Football League.
The draft system.
Yeah. And then that folded in 2010, and then she had to go through it again. So it's sort of, I think what's interesting is that we think of like the Football League as being like it's there forever and like it'll always stay the same way, and you work with transfers, you go through academies, you go through YTS and stuff. The fact it was completely different, like her experiences, is kind of interesting for that reason. And
I agree.
It's inspirational.
Yeah, it is. Inspirational is the great word. Tash, did it inspire you?
Yes, I did actually find it quite inspiring. I mean, it's all very earnest and American, isn't it? But I kept finding myself thinking, oh, I wish I'd read this when I was a little girl. How sad is that?
Same.
But
I wish I read it when I was a little girl.
But I felt like the way that she talks about sport, I mean, I don't know if it is different because I am a girl.
I didn't know that before you came on the podcast.
We're gonna have to make some changes.
There was no books like this when I was a kid. There wasn't, like, there weren't female sporting role models. I mean, there was, but they were very niche.
Sure.
And the way that she talks about sport is like, if you're good at sport, it translates to other things as well. And if, you know, you learn these skills, you can take them through to college and through to your life.
True.
It sounds very like grandiose to say this, but I reckon for a young girl to read that would feel quite revolutionary.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Because obviously Jack, James and I grew up only reading Gary Monk's Loud, Proud and Positive. So, you know, I can't imagine what it was like for other people.
Yeah, I just didn't. It just didn't exist.
What was the most inspirational thing you read as a kid, Tash?
Oh, Christ. Maybe like Goosebumps. And I thought one day I'd be the girl that was murdered in an attic or something.
Jeez, yeah, very low standards.
Something to aim towards.
Female representation really wasn't a thing in the '90s. Trust me.
I learned to stay out of the basement. Which
yeah, exactly.
Maybe one day I'll be that blob that destroys the town.
Yeah. So this book is written in 2015 after the Women's World Cup. Mm. Although I think there may have been an edition before the World Cup, as it's very rushed at the
end. There must have been an edition before the World Cup because it's very weird, the book, not to spoil the ending, but like the book at the end is like, and so I won the World Cup. And then there's an afterword, which is like, I hope I win the World Cup. And it is genuinely like a Sixth Sense style twist where you're like, wait, what? Was it all a dream?
There
must have been a version to go out just before the World Cup started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this is the version that they put out after the World Cup to be like, we won.
Yes, I think you're right. One thing that does stand out for the book is we have never had a book with this many chapters. 63 chapters. There are
chapters.
Yeah. All chapters are about 3 pages long, which is very nice and bite size. Yum yum yum. But I don't know why I said that. At the end of every chapter, there's also like a York note synopsis at the end of them.
I love it.
It's like reading a fable.
Yeah, and it can translate what the fable is. Yeah, I know what you mean by that.
And
exactly.
They all end with like the fable, and they're like, if you read them all together, it sounds like, you know, remember the Louis Saha style perfume like thing that he would start with the line that was like, football is a god and it will beat me constantly.
Yes.
It's sort of the similar, if you add them all together here, it's just like, it's sort of her version of another, like a sports perfume that you could wear. Effectively, well, like, money isn't everything. Make sacrifices. Move on. Keep a level head. Seize every opportunity. Attitude is everything.
Agreed.
Set your own timeline.
Inspiring.
It is inspiring.
How inspired are we feeling now? Because at the beginning of this podcast, I was feeling like 2. Now I'm on 6.
I'm comfortable. I think I can go through a few more of these and start going. In times of transition, no feeling is wrong. I'm on 6.5.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. Keep going. I'm getting pumped.
Expect the unexpected. Be thankful. Don't make opponents into enemies. I did not understand that.
Yes. No, I liked that one.
Really?
She does explain it. Yeah. She's but like, on... just because you're playing against someone at one time, don't be a total knobhead to them, because one day they might be on your team. And that happens.
Let me just clarify, she doesn't say knobhead at any point. Yeah.
All right, guys, Alex Morgan here. Don't be a knobhead.
She might do now, she lives in North London.
That's true, yeah, she's moved to North London. Yeah, it does take an ominous turn at chapter 12 with people are watching.
Yeah, that knocks you down a bit, that one.
Also, there's no foreword, which, again, is that a big difference between men and women's football? I don't know.
Do you know what? I think in women's football, they just like get to the meat. Get to the stuff that you want to hear.
They're like, get the meat. What?
No, get to the meat.
Oh, right.
Oh, God.
Women's football is like, get the meat.
She's chasing Gabriel Heinze's ambulance.
Ambulance.
Packed to the brim with meat. No, like, it does start, although it has a preface, like a preface. Preface. Oh, God, I've got your disease of missaying foreword. Preface.
Preface? Preface?
Preface? A preface? Which is really like, which does punch you in the preface. Which
is that
like,
when she's injured?
Yeah,
she breaks her, tells her ACL when she's 17.
Yeah, when she's 17, yeah. And it starts with her just being like, help, something's not right, I'm hurt.
Can I just say something about this here?
So, please do.
I don't want to bring up too much gender politics in this episode because, you know, that would be really boring. But this proves something that I've been saying for a very long time, because every single man that I ever met on Tinder said that they would have been a professional football player, but they did their ACL. She did it, and then she did a hamstring, and she won 2 World Cups. So
that's true.
Sorry, but women are stronger than men. Proves it. Thank you.
She does get up from a lot of knocks at the beginning.
She has a lot of injuries, doesn't she? Really injured.
Yeah. Like the first part of the book is basically just, I injured myself again. That was bad. tried to start playing again, got on crutches again. Like she gets very injured very quickly.
And every time in the interim, she's like, oh, and I just studied for another exam and I just
She's a real high achiever.
She's so high. Like she says that she graduated from college. She's fluent in Spanish. She like does a political economy specializing in South America. And she's written several books like about children playing.
She's written a million kids books. Yeah.
She's too talented. It was intimidating. A lot of this book was just me. I had to like put it down several times and be like, okay, it's okay. You're 31. It's fine. You know.
She was 25 when she wrote that book. Yeah.
I was like, you know, I've done some additional material for Have I Got News for You. That's good. That's a good thing. Okay.
Alex Morgan's been a main writer on that for years.
Alex Morgan has been writing everything that Paul Burton's been saying for for the past 30 years.
They were saying that beginning, because I didn't think I'd be able to relate to a lot of things in this book. As you mentioned, it's kind of a guidebook for American teenagers, effectively, and American teenage girls especially. However, at the beginning of the book, when she tears her ACL and she has to ask some guy to help her off the pitch, I think she has to at the beginning. I had something very similar at university. This is generally true. Much less. I played a five-a-side economics tournament, and I blocked a shot, and I went down awkwardly. No, this is just as important. This was just as tough. I played a five-a-side indoors economics tournament, and I got someone hit a shot, and I went down awkwardly, and it hurt, but I carried on playing. And I felt fine. Then I went to the library after the tournament to do some work, and I sat down for about, half an hour, 40 minutes. And I tried to get up to go to the toilet or something. And I realized I couldn't stand up. So I was sat in the library opposite some guy on the table who I'd never met in my life. And I had to say to him, excuse me, do you mind carrying me out of the library? So this guy, I had to call an ambulance. And this guy had to like pop me on his shoulder and walk me out of the university. So,
oh my God.
Straight away, I could relate to this book.
And that person grew up to be Savando, Alex Morgan's husband.
Oh, maybe.
You're exactly the same. Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for that injury, I would have become a professional footballer. As I told Tash many years ago over a drink. We've mentioned how it's kind of this inspirational book, but also it does tell the story of her life. Starts off with young Alex. Did we all like young Alex? She's very confident, which is fine.
She's very
not knocking
confident.
It, but she's extremely confident from a very young age, which is impressive.
I really liked reading about her, but if I was a kid and I knew her, we would not have been friends.
This is exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, your life sounds amazing, and then I tried to imagine if she was my neighbour, and I'd be like, oh God, have you heard?
Your mum would always be like, look what Alex is doing. Yeah.
Just another gold star from her soccer tournament. Oh, and also she's won the political economy debating team in Latin America. Also, she's fluent in Spanish. It would be unbearable.
Oh God!
You know the Jack's written on Have I Got News for You?
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. No, that's pretty good, I suppose. That's all right.
No, well done, Jack. Well done. Here's a good example of those kind of things. She kind of slyly slags off her sisters very early on when she says, My parents were stricter with me than my sisters. Maybe they knew my potential.
Yeah.
She's very sure of herself.
So sure of herself.
It's quite an American thing, I guess, but there's one point where she's like, I mean, this is later on, but when she talks about scoring the World Cup and she's talking about what she felt, I think she says something along the lines of, I can't remember what was going through my head. Excitement? Sure. Disbelief? Probably not. Wow. You are confident.
She has a lot of that. And Jack, I messaged you about a bit where she goes to the airport and she sees her future teammate, Megan Gisolva, I think her name is.
Yes, yeah.
Crying at the airport. And then Alex goes, there she was, crying, hugging her family and kissing everyone. I laughed, thinking how different we were.
It's so odd. It's just like, yes, I've won leaving my parents. I'm better at leaving my parents than this person.
That's true.
I did like the bit where she was like, oh, I cried on the field. Who does that? And I was like, every bloody man's book that we've ever read has been
I cried in my uni library.
Please, please put me on your shoulder, Savando, please.
But she is very competitive, and she talks about how like the family would get very competitive playing Monopoly or Gin Rummy, and said that my mum was the only one who wouldn't laugh in your face when she won. Which is just, imagine like a 40-year-old man laughing in a 6-year-old's face because he won at Monopoly. What a pathetic man.
Hey, I will not have you knock Alex Morgan's dad. Because
Alex Morgan's dad is great.
Sorry. Dedicated father.
He hires her a speed coach when she's 10.
And like, and puts her legs in like weights and says like, run around this pitch with these legs with your weights. And she was like, oh, this is really painful because I've got to run around a pitch with weights. And then takes off the weights and is like, now look how much faster you're running. And it worked because she's incredibly quick.
He also literally became a coach after knowing nothing about football and then just went, right, I'm going to help you. I'm going to literally become a coach. And know everything about it and make and you
like,
better.
He read loads of books or something after she said, I like football.
Did
and he was
courses.
Like, great, all right.
He's like the Chris Jenner of football.
He's exactly like the Chris Jenner of football.
He's nowhere near that evil. He is nowhere near as evil as that.
Because she was like, he was like, hey, do you want to be play baseball? Play baseball. And like, not forced her, but was like, let's go to Angels, playing in the Angels Stadium every day. We'll watch the Angels. You can play softball. You're really good. And then one day she's just like, Dad, baseball's boring. And says actually in the book, like, at one point I enjoyed baseball, but looking back, I can't believe I did because it's so boring.
And she's right.
It is incredibly dull.
It's just round, isn't it?
But like, imagine if your son or daughter came out to you and was like, I hate what you love. and I would rather play this much more boring sport. You'd be, and the idea that he was just like, okay, cool, off we go, let's play some soccer. Like, he did very well.
He did, and he's very good at rewarding his daughters as well. There's a bit where he buys all his daughters a car for going to college. And this is why I really like her dad. I can't remember his name. Did she even mention his name at any point?
I want to say it's Alex, but it isn't, because that wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, her mum's called Alex, her dad's called Alex, and those siblings are called Alex. Let's call him Papa Morgan. Papa Morgan. He says something which has actually stuck with me ever since. It's not to do with football, it's to do with parking your car.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I completely agree.
It's totally right. He says, like, the first time she parks her car, he says to her, okay, now here's a whole parking lot. Where do you park your brand new car? Do you drive it in this slot between two cars? Do you put it in a spot where there aren't really any cars around? Or do you go to this corner where there's a car on one side and a divider on the other? So Alex responds, I'd park it where no other cars are parked. Wrong, exactly. He said. Yeah, exactly what I thought. He said, you put it where there's a divider because then only one car can park on the side of you. You don't know when the lot's going to fill up. You don't know if someone's going to hit you, but you reduce your chances if you had a divider on one side. And he's absolutely right. I never thought about that. And what? I parked my car immediately after reading this book about a month or so ago. And I straight away, I crashed it into a wall. No, I parked it next to a wall. And I thought it went when there were loads of other spaces. And so he has changed my life.
What's interesting about that bit is that most of the other book is like, she'll say like, this thing happened and it taught me to do, you know, X, Y, Z, or like, I learned that I had to be more humble. That is a bit of advice that she gives that then doesn't lead on to like, consider your surroundings. It's just a really good bit of advice that stands alone.
It's true.
It's like midway through this book, which is like filled with like, follow your dreams, do this. It sort of suddenly gives a really practical bit of like, if you're ever parking a car, do it near a divider because you don't want to, the insurance will go really high up if you do that. It's genuinely amazing. And it's the bit of the book that stuck with me the most. I was, again, similarly, I was parking a car recently and I was like, I should do it near the wall.
It's crazy how much that little bit has stuck with me. And it's such a simple bit of advice. Thank you, Papa Morgan. You've changed my damn life. although I think Alex Morgan should listen to him a bit more because she does crash the car, I think. And there's a line that could have been in 50 Shades of Andy Gray, where she says, there was no way I could be trusted with something brand new. In fact, I rear-ended someone about 6 months after. Oh, Alex.
But then, and then she says, like, but he also then bought me a Lexus. And you're like, wow.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Papa Morgan, what a great dad. He's got money, he's wise. God, I'm queuing up for slice of Papa M.
He's called Michael, by the way. I had a look.
Michael.
Ah, Michael Morgan.
Morgan. Oh, that's good.
Nah, I'm not kidding you. I've gone right off him. Look, I won't lie. There's a lot of Americanisms about football in this book.
Yeah.
You know it. Soccer. I know it. A lot of soccerisms, those kind of things that the US sports guys always say. And they're incredibly jarring and frustrating to British readers because we bloody invented the sport. But I don't think it's fair to dwell on these. So let's just get them all out in one go. Yeah.
Okay. There are a lot.
Anyone got any you want to use up? Let's cue some American music. Yeah, it comes to American music. It's like cowboy music. You like it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was expecting more like Stars and Stripes, but fine.
I don't think I can clear that. I've got one, page 202. A 1-0 lead is good, but it's not a slam dunk.
Oh, I remember that bit.
Anyone else want a yee-haw? I've got another one.
Yeah, my least favourite one was winningest team.
Oh, wait. I agree. It's something like we had a lot to prove despite being the winningest team. What does that mean?
So I Googled it, and it is an actual word, but it's like just a North American word.
I mean, it makes sense. I get it, but yeah, yuck. Kicking the ball into your own team's goal is called an own goal, and it's always awful when it happens. Which is true. It is awful. Anyone else got any?
Oh, I've got one. It's not so much an Americanism, it's just a very odd phrase, talking about one of Carly Lloyd's goals, which was a long, clean, beautiful goal.
Oh. I thought you were about to start singing American Pie. A long, clean, time ago. Perry Groves would love it.
He would grow sick of it very quickly.
There was a whole paragraph that I found very hard to read about the Canadians were going to get a free kick. It was a long kick and we were just too much of a swarm.
Oh, wait, oh God, I actually have written that down.
We quickly shot the ball back towards the sideline. Things were getting a little heated, and as one announcer said, the Canadian team has stopped easing into match. They were all in. Oh, very, very American. Anyone got any others? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Oh, also when they say, like, she made a cross. It's like, just say she crossed it. But equally that I completely understand why, and I know it's petty and stupid. It just does, it rankles every time you read it.
I agree. And I guess, like we say, she's writing this book for kids. Yeah. And, like, American girls and soccer isn't that big over there. So,
of course. No, it's completely
and
fair.
I think it's okay for us to mock Alex Morgan here, because as she says, she loves Brits and everything sounds better in their accent, particularly football.
Yeah.
So, yay. And I've used up my yay. That's my yay for the episode.
Oh, wow, okay. Have I had a yay? I was about to say it there. Okay,
you used like seven yays at the beginning, Jay.
Yes. No, I'm not asking for another. At some point, I'll try and buy a word that I can't say off of someone else.
Yeah, so then the book kind of develops into this whole getting noticed by the US women's national team. Did we find the book kind of picked up here when it was kind of going through her career, or were we sad to see the back of young Alex?
Yeah, well, I just found it kind of different from all the others that we've done, because like the focus for her was academia, isn't it?
Yeah,
so, very true.
And the goal was to play at the World Cup. It wasn't like to go and play for United or something.
Mm. No.
So there's no club hopping. Because I guess financially it's not viable.
Yes.
And it kind of reminded me, there was a boy that I went to school with, I will not name him, there was a boy that I went to school with who played for Crewe Alexandra when we were at school, and it was very exciting.
Ooh.
And then when we got our GCSE results, he very proudly exclaimed that he could spell fudge with them. And he was like, it don't matter anyway, because I'm going to be a footballer. Blah, 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 blah. And then about 3 weeks later got dropped, and it just made me think of that, like, her focus was always academia, whereas here, if you're good at football, that's what you're gonna do, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
It's quite refreshing to read.
I think,
you know?
I mean, a big part of this book was, and it's especially at the top, was like, have a plan B, you know, make sure that you, because the chances of you making it are actually quite slim, because it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. And it's important, because sometimes you do injure yourself playing five-a-side for an economics tournament.
The library.
Yeah. And if I hadn't have been studying for my degree at the same time, if I hadn't had the economics to fall back on, who knows where I'd be nowadays.
It's true. All the economics that you use, crucially.
Still in the library, probably.
Having people begging people to
somebody. I'm 30. I haven't washed in 10 years.
Oh, the library boy is beginning to smell again. Put the hose on him.
She plays at Berkeley, is that right? Where she goes to university?
Cal. She calls it Cal a lot.
Cal.
Which I don't know if that's the same as Berkeley, but yeah, I think it's Berkeley.
I think it is.
Because she talks about how she had an open day there. And like she said, this place is so great. It's liberal and there are people selling things on the street.
Yeah. She's like street vendors is what sells her going to the university. That is very strange, that bit.
Like she went to Stanford and was like, oh, I'm not so sure about this place. And her friend was like, no, this place is really good. It's got like academic stuff. It's got, you know, like really good sports halls. She went to Cal and was like, oh my God, there's a guy. He's got a stall. He's selling a hot dog. I will live here for 5 years.
How cosmopolitan.
When in Cal.
Very nice. I would say throughout the book, there's not loads of drama, I would say. I mean, the beginning sets it up with that, and I wouldn't say there's loads after it. I know that's not what the book is meant to be, but it's not quite the same as like some of the other books you've read, like, you know, Paddy Kenny, for example, where there's lots of drama all the way through it.
I think that's predominantly because like it is an internationally based book, so like everyone seems to be pulling in the same direction. So it's like the story of Hope Solo and Abby Wambach and Megan Rapinoe, like rather than the sort of rivalries you get with playing in a league like, you know, that we would get in the Premier League or in England, where it's like, we had to beat this team and we, you know, we hated this team here. Whereas in these matches, they seem to be just playing people that they never see again and don't get a great rivalry with.
Which I, you know, like part of the joy of doing this for me is recognizing a lot of the things and seeing the names pop up. And I knew a few, and it's not so much I didn't know loads of women's footballers' names, because I don't, to be honest. I knew a few of them that popped up in there. But the fact that it didn't have those kind of dramas and the rivalries that I understood, for me, meant I enjoyed it less. Obviously, she can't change that, because like she can't just make up a rivalry with, like, you know, I don't know, Des Walker.
imagine if this book was one big, like, fuck you to Des Walker.
Which, I mean,
no matter how many World Cups I could win, I would never be able to break Des Walker's face like I dreamed.
But that's basically it. But there's not loads of dramas, and I think some of the ones that she tries to that are in there, like there's the one with Neil, I think, who's a manager.
I love the Neil story is great, because she, when she's in Cal, like Neil is part of the team and they love him, they think he's great. He's the coach, right? He's the coach, he's the tour of Europe, and she talks about the day that Neil quit the team. And it's during a match, they're not doing very well, they're 1-0 down. And she just says, Neil came into the room, didn't look like he wanted to be there, and just yelled, "It's not working for me, I'm out of here," and walked out.
Yes.
Which the best thing about that is it was half time.
It was half time. It was so funny.
The thought of a manager just coming in at half and time and going, "Do you know what? I'm done with this. This is not for me, really. I'm out of here.
Not even kicking a skip on the way out. Terrible."
Maybe they don't have skips in American changing rooms. Maybe that's the only difference.
He kicked a monster truck on the way out. it's genuinely such a funny bit, but also would be incredibly traumatic if you're playing it. I think the other thing is it was hard for me to get my head around how much college football mattered.
Yeah, like, it means loads.
It matters so much to all these people, and it matters not just the college, but also the people outside the college. And like, if you do well in the college, then you can go and play in the major teams. Whereas for us, I feel like college football is like down the park. You know, have a couple of, you kick the ball about, you have some shandies afterwards. Is how I see college football. But I don't know if that's true of everyone else.
No. I mean, yeah, I don't think anyone cares about it, to be honest. The college football we have, I guess. So
if you're good, you've been picked up by an academy earlier. So you wouldn't
by college, you mean like university teams or whatever?
Yeah, that's what.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
So I think that sort of thing was quite interesting, and yeah, the way Neil leaves is just amazing. He comes back as well, and she's forced to make nice with him again.
Yeah.
Is Neil going in the Hall of Shame?
No,
quite shady behavior. Come on.
I agree. I thought it was a bit shady. Yeah.
But he turns up again and is like, guys, I'm so sorry. I put the individual ahead of the team. Like it's a sort of weird cult that they're all in. He accepts.
It's America.
So he put himself in the Hall of Shame, and in so doing, thrust himself out of the Hall of Shame.
I would agree with that.
Wow, he died so we may live.
Yeah, the old he might as well have just gone there and said the old Neil is dead, and then like walked through a cleansing fire.
Wow,
say hello to the new Neil.
See, we come in full circle back to Taylor Swift now.
Exactly.
Sorry, oh, can't come to the phone exactly. right now.
Oh, why? Because he's dead. I'm not feeling it right now.
What a halftime team talk that'd be.
That would be such a good halftime team
that
talk.
That shows how old I am that Tash mentioned Taylor Swift, and what was in my head was stars in their eyes when they walk out and come back out the smoke. Person.
I mean, what people forget is that Taylor Swift got her big break on Stars in Their Eyes with Matthew Kelly. Yeah, people forget that.
Tonight I'm going to be new Neil.
Hi everyone, James here. Now, we on the Football Book Club read a lot of books. Some good, some less good. But wouldn't it be great to get a surprise footballer's autobiography in the post every month, huh? Well, good news, Date Night with a Book, the surprise book subscription service, are now bringing you a special football book club package, which includes a surprise footballer's autobiography, club coaster or beer mats, retro kit keyring, hot drinks, a bookmark, and various other goodies straight through your letterbox. Head to the website now and use the code BOOKBOOKBOOKBOOK. That's four books, all lowercase, all one word. On this or any other packages they have, it works for all of them. They have loads of great gifts for you or a loved one. They'll send you a new surprise book every month. That's Date Night with a Book, because why should we have all the fun reading these books, huh? Like we said before, it's a good insight into how American football works, because the league, as you mentioned, kind of folds over and over again. I didn't know how that works, and I didn't know how many games they play. That in comparison, like the domestic teams play so many less games than the international teams. Like, the amount of games Alex Morgan's played is crazy. She's scored 107 goals in, like, 200 odd caps, I think, or something like that. Maybe 150.
They travel around a lot, don't they? They play a lot of games.
They really do, and they definitely focus on that more than the domestic side of things.
I think they kind of have to because
the league keeps folding.
Because they can't rely on the league. Genuinely, it seemed like she was, because she gets her big break, or like she's made, like, she's the first college pick. Again, I don't really understand college picks, so I don't know if that is. I think it's a good thing. It sounds like a good thing.
It is. I think it's when. Yeah. The first pick is when, isn't it, the worst team gets to choose you first? Is that right, or something
and
like
that's,
that?
And basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's exactly, I think all the American sports kind of work in the same way, the drafts.
Right, okay.
The draft system.
Yeah. If only Amy was here, she'd explain.
But then surely you don't want to be the first pick if you're going to go to the worst team. Is it?
No, because I think then having like the
they become a better
first
team.
Pick, yeah.
Yeah.
It, right,
it's
okay.
Sort of, American sports are weirdly like if the
communist
worst team... Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are, weirdly, yeah.
compared to the English teams, which are weirdly like hyper capitalist and horrible. Yeah.
No, you're right.
That's
no,
strange.
It is strange. They kind of share the wealth of players. It is very strange. Yeah.
But she's picked first and like goes to, what's it called? Western New York Flash. That sounds like a regional superhero.
Yeah.
Oh boy, it's a Western New York Flash here. Where'd that guy go?
James, do that in Alan Smith's accent.
Yeah, he's just got a bit of pace there, the Western New York Flash. The young United States national.
Give me a yeehaw.
Alan Smith can't do a yeehaw.
No, that's true. Should we do a picture section? I thought we haven't had one in a while, and this has actually got a prominent picture section.
Oh,
which is
so
nice.
The
pictures are quite short.
Yeah, and it's so cute.
Okay, well, the first one is Michael
Morgan. Please don't go through one by one. That'll go.
No, I'm just saying, he's dressed as Superman, and the two kids are dressed as cheerleader. And it says that Alex Morgan is dressed as a bear that year, but she clarifies that she isn't dressed as a bear here, which I feel like is a bit of a cop-out, personally. If you're going to put a picture section in.
Yeah, find the bear picture and then put that up.
Yeah,
don't tell me what you're dressed up as. I don't care about that.
Don't tempt me with that.
Yeah, who do you think she is? Pepe Reina and his generic horror movie character? Who will never know. Anyone else got a favourite picture in the book?
I mean, they're all very cute, but the problem is, the only time I ever see pictures of, like, small American children is when they've been, like, abducted or something. So they look a bit creepy.
I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I never see these sorts of pictures.
I expect to suddenly go black and white and a voiceover to be
like...
Yeah, white.
Exactly.
And then someone to go, she was such a normal girl. Yeah. We all thought she had her life ahead of her. We can't
But
believe
later
it.
On, they're very cute. They're very, sure. like... Yeah. You know, her wedding and stuff.
But now that you said it, even when I look at her wedding, I'm like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then, of course, during the honeymoon, disaster struck.
Tash, you're getting married soon. Do you mention your wedding as much as Alex does in this book?
Absolutely not, because I would have no friends left. Jesus Christ. From the first page, she's like, oh, and then I met this man. I married him, by the way, but now I'll tell you the story. It's like,
yes,
girl, calm down.
Yeah, she does. Savanto seems like a catch, but
to
she
be
does
fair,
mention
he's
that
a
wedding
real
so
hunk.
Much. He is
he's
a hunk.
A real hunk.
He looks
he's
like
a hunk.
Yeah.
So. I mean, he was very muscular when he carried me out of the library that time.
I think it's fair enough to mention her wedding in a way. I personally.
Yeah, but not every page.
Every bloody page.
And when she's like 11, she's going, I can't wait till I marry Savannah. Oh, fuck.
There's a bit where she's
tell me more things about Michael Morgan.
Where she's like, Tobin Heath passed it to me, brackets. Tobin Heath was at my wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. That's exactly the kind of thing I mean. That is exactly it.
What she doesn't mention is her dad makes her walk down the aisle with weights on her ankles.
Like, you will go a lot quicker in the future.
Guys, who wants to hear Ken's song this week?
Yeah.
Oh,
anything
yes.
else in the world?
So as we know, Ken loves to write songs. What have we had so far? I can't remember any of them. Goals from Connor Salmon to the tune of Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah.
We liked that, didn't we? I've got another one here. Who remembers Express 2 and David Byrne's Lazy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is a tune. That is
big
a tune.
Tune. I think we had Talking Heads before, didn't we?
2003. Yeah, but this isn't Talking Heads. It's David Byrne on his own.
True. Okay, here comes the song. To the tune of Lazy. Oh, here comes Emil Heskey. Whoa, dangerous and sexy. I feel like we're getting an insight into Ken's mind more and more every single week.
Okay, look, I think Lazy, Heskey and sexy don't quite rhyme. Lazy and Heskey don't rhyme.
God.
I just, look.
Right, Jack. Ken, every week, he doesn't get paid for this. So none of us do. He especially doesn't get any money for it. He doesn't get it here to get notes from you about whether Emil Heskey rhymes with sexy and lazy.
I don't think he should be putting these things out into the world if he doesn't want them to be judged.
Well, Ken, I enjoyed it. And, you know.
Oh, Ken, if it comes on in a dance hall, I'll dance to it.
Ken's version of David Byrne's Lazy. James, just to make him feel better, can you give him a yay?
I haven't used it yet, have I? Yay.
There we go. Take that, Jack.
That sounds incredibly sarcastic, so I guess.
I've still got mine. I'm holding on to mine.
I can't wait to see how you detach. I'm very excited. How inspired are we feeling now, by the way? We've had Ken's song. We've heard about... Yeah, me too. I'm feeling pretty pumped.
I'm pretty inspired.
I've drunk a whole Cronenberg. I'm smashed. Her American career for the US national team kind of gets off amazingly. She scores in a World Cup final in 2011. She wins the Olympics where she scores. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I need to prepare the yeehaw for this. She scores. Oh, someone scores an Olympic goal. Anyone know what an Olympic goal is?
I do, but only because I looked it up afterwards. And I felt ashamed that I didn't know what it was. It's scoring directly from a corner.
I don't think you should feel ashamed for that, because I don't think any of us knew that. James, did you know that?
I did not know that.
I don't think anyone did. Don't be ashamed, Jack.
I don't know.
Okay.
I
knew it by the name scoring from a corner.
Yeah, same. Just score direct from a corner. That's what I've always heard it called as well.
Like, because she sort of says like, oh, it's called an Olympic goal when you score from a corner. It might be on purpose. It might be fluke. It's always fluke. No one's ever thinking, I'm going to score from a corner.
No, they're true. Always,
you're just putting it in the mixer, aren't you, really?
Well, unless you're Christian Eriksen, where it's like, I think I'm going to hit the first man every single time when I take it. Little one for the Spurs fans on the group. Yeah. follow the podcast.
Spurs fans there all chuckling silently to themselves.
Yeah.
Very
very droll. Very droll. She scores in the World Cup final, but she's very modest about it. Because they lose in 2011. She's kind of the anti-Jermaine Pennant. Because Jermaine Pennant, if he'd scored in the World Cup final, would never have shut up about it. Whereas she kind of, she knows when to like hold back and say, look, the team didn't do well, so it doesn't matter if I did well or not.
I don't think I'd ever shut up about it if I scored in a World Cup final. And she is so like chill about it. She's like, I scored in the World Cup. We didn't have much time to celebrate because then Japan equalized. And I think I would probably be still at like the crowd going like, I just scored. It's a World Cup final and I've just scored. So I would walk out of that. I would immediately sign a book deal. I would ask for a massive raise on how I got news for you. it's the whole thing is about the team, and she's very yeah. good at making sure that it's always about the team. And like, I think she sort of feels like she's the face of the Team USA. And
well, so... not so much at that point. She was kind of still learning at that bit. But you are right. I do know what you mean. Because she says Abby Wambach. Abby Wambach, is that how you pronounce the name?
Wambach, yeah.
Wambach.
Abby Wambach.
Abby Wambach.
I think it's, isn't it Wambach? It's Wambach.
Possibly. Abby Wambach. Wambach. Said, isn't that what I literally said the first time?
I think it said Wambach.
Oh, who knows? Wambach. Who knows what I said? So, Wabby Ambach. Wabby. Oh, Jesus. Abby Wambach.
A lot of the Team USA names are like tongue twisters, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I totally
Abby Wambach.
Agree.
Shannon Box. I mean, that's not a tongue twister. But it's still a fun
what
thing.
What a name.
Name, though, isn't it?
So many great names.
Sydney LaRue.
Sydney LaRue.
She's going in for the kill.
Garbage Delaney. That's
what?
Made up.
Garbage.
That's not, yes, it's just not true.
But Abby Wambach fascinates me because she's got loads of tribute Twitter accounts apparently for her head.
Yeah, apparently. That's so weird.
There's three of them. So bad luck if you want to start one because all the good usernames are taken. But they're all like Abby Wambach's head and Abby Head and Wambach Noggin or something. I don't know what they're called. But yeah.
Very... Oh, Wambach Noggin.
Yeah. Guys, I'm gonna do this week's dramatic reading. We good?
Ooh,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get a yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
Okay. Can we cue some dramatic music, please?
Cue dramatic music.
Thank you very much, Jack. This story is called Hope Solo Does the Worm Diplomatically. I think that's my favourite title for one yet, in terms of yeah. what they are. After our... So we all remember Hope Solo, right? She was the goalkeeper yep. for the American Women's National Team. Bit yep. of a hero. Great name as well. After our victory against Colombia, Brandi Chastain made a comment on ESPN about our defence. She said that we played an A-minus game, American, mostly because of defence issues. And she called out Rachel Buehler. This really rubbed Hope the wrong way, and she took to Twitter. She wrote, "Lay off commenting about defending, brackets, and goalkeeping, until you get more educated, at Brandi Chastain. The game has changed from a decade ago."
What's really weird about this is that this whole thing starts off because Brandi Chastain says it was an A-minus performance.
Yeah, like, but it's still good.
During an England performance, if you said they were A-minus, they would be like, wow, okay, that is a pretty high bit of praise there.
No one wow. is. We got to semi-final yeah. in the World Cup and no one gave us an A-minus. Like,
that is a D. This is yeah. a D performance.
But I think that's it. She thinks people are being hypercritical, basically. And the yeah. press have been critical of Hope and have brought the mood of the whole team down. We were on a winning streak and suddenly people were talking about everything but how we're playing. Abby decided that our next game, which was against North Korea, Abby Wambach, that is, also North Korea, cool. That was gonna change. She just wanted people to forget what had happened. Plus, the game was on Hope's birthday, so we thought she needed some fun. Abby proposed that Hope would do the worm if anyone on our team scored. No one thought Hope would agree. She usually didn't join the celebrations, but she did. I'd love to be the person who raised that in the meeting. Yeah. What can we possibly do?
So the team morale is quite low. Hope's being insulted quite a lot.
Do the worm.
Do the worm. Do that.
Do the worm.
I can do the worm. Yeah, sure.
The worm will fix the atmosphere.
It's going to be between the worm, the mashed potato, or the twist. Those are your options.
Yeah. Yeah, Megan Rapinoe's doing the cha-cha slide outside. Yeah.
Tobin Heath's doing the Charleston. I quite enjoy this. Like a Strictly Come Dancing version for the entire Team USA.
Imagine someone doing the worm on Strictly. With the with the possibility of a worm dancing goalkeeper in our future. What a weird sentence. The mood was light when we hit the field at Old Trafford, which is where they're playing in the Olympics, the historic stadium where Man United play, and Abby scored in the 25th minute. Sure enough, Hope dropped to the ground and did the worm. Christy Rampone joined in and we all grabbed hands and did a little worm wave with our arms.
Huh? What's a worm wave?
I don't
what
know.
Is, a worm wave? is it just a wave?
It's like that thing.
Maybe
isn't
it's
it?
Like when you hold arms.
Yeah.
Like a rope. Like at the end of Ali G in the house. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, thank you, James, for bringing it back to a reference that I can understand. Thank you.
I know for a fact that we've all seen Ali G in the house.
I needed that. Thank you so much.
They did a worm wave. It was hilarious, and it brought us all together in the same way making those snow angels had done years before. In any stressful situation, it's so important to laugh. Then we went on to win 1-0. There we go. Laughter is the best medicine. As it said in the end of the little prologue, there was so much stress at the beginning of the Olympics, but laughter took us through it. If Abby hadn't persuaded Hope to do the worm, her battle with Brandi Chastain might have left a bad taste in people's mouths. But by laughing and having fun, we showed ourselves and the world that we could move on. Laughter really is the best medicine.
It's really weird how that dramatic reading sort of merged into a like a after school special midway yeah. through. Like, oh, yeah. there's a moral to this. Okay, fine. Also, I was thinking about it. If I was watching a football game and a team scored and then the opposing goalkeeper like fell on the floor and started to convulse, I would assume something terrible.
Yes, I agree. Like, oh my god, I would what's be happened? Like,
oh my god, what is that? I would be immediately out of my chair going, oh no, what's happening? And then to watch all of her like friends do it as well, it'd be like the Radiohead Just video.
Why do you keep mentioning that around me?
I do. It's the only.
I remember Jack's the house the other day, and he couldn't stop mentioning Just by Radiohead.
It's because it's so creepy.
It came out like 25 years ago. Jack, get over it.
I know, but the idea of like just all the players dropping to the floor and like staring at the ground.
I love the bit in the Just video where Tom York does the worm. Has anyone got an out of context Alex Morgan?
No.
Nope. Okay.
I've got one.
Okay.
I love being a bear.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
The one I wrote down was, most of you probably know what your hamstring is, but if you don't, I'll tell you. And that was the day I learned what my hamstring was.
She does do that quite a lot where she's like, do you guys know what a hat trick is? Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. If you don't, I'll explain it. Do you know what an own goal is? If you don't, I'll explain it. You do sort of like think there was probably a version of this book where she was like, do you guys know what kicking is? Okay. Well, fundamentally, imagine you're hitting a ball with your hands. Now, flip your entire body upside down. That's kicking.
Do you know what Alexis is? The book ends though. She wins. She starts winning loads of things by the end, right? She
everything
yeah. basically. She wins the first NWSL championship with Portland Thorns. Although not much attention is paid to that, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, because very I think much it, club football doesn't really matter. Genuinely.
It doesn't. She's like, oh, I won that. Who gives a shit? Then there's the Women's World Cup, which is really quick. And as we said before, I don't think this was meant to be the case.
I think Alex Morgan's written this book before the World Cup, and then they've tacked on this chapter at
yes.
the end
yeah,
as
I
a way.
Right.
Which is, look, you can't complain with that. Entirely makes sense. If you've won the World Cup, you would definitely put your book out again and say, like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? I'm doing this again. Like, I'm talking about me celebrating my goal at the World Cup over and over and over again. I would not stop talking about it if I won the World Cup.
You're like Louis Saha with his imaginary goal he scored.
Yeah. Yeah. I will not stop talking about it.
Either you're right with that, or she's just guessed exactly what happened in every single World Cup match. Which and just wrote, we'll go on there.
Like the psychic in Grant Holt's book.
Yeah, exactly. This is what's going to happen to me. But yeah, she wins it, as you say. It ends with more inspirational stuff. She wins the 2015 World Cup. And sadly, there's no appearance from Peter Reid in the whole book. What a shame. What a shame.
I was really expecting right at the end that she would, like, as she was picking up the cup, be like, and there, could I believe it? It was Peter Reid. Handed me the cup.
There was a squirrel on the pitch, though, which I felt added a
oh,
little,
true.
You know.
That was good. And she
and
said,
if you
and,
don't
and,
know what a squirrel is, I'll tell you.
Guys, did this book change you very quickly? Did it change
Absolutely.
You very quickly?
It did change me very quickly. It really did. I thought I was gonna be quite cynical about it, and I ended up loving it and feeling quite inspired.
Nice. Tash, you're a more positive person after having read it?
100%. I am ready and raring to go. I am gonna go and see my PT tomorrow and get her to like weigh my legs down and stuff.
James?
Yeah, change very you. Positive. Let me tell you my favorite bit of the book quickly because it sort of
please, please.
That. Her mantras yes. made me laugh so much. That was my favorite bit of the whole book because the whole way through the book, she's talking about positivity and be thankful and all that stuff. And then she goes to her mantras and you think they're going to be along them lines. And then number one is never look a goalkeeper in the eye, like they're bears or something. That made me laugh.
If a goalkeeper comes near you, getting a ball.
Do not look never a Casey look Keller a, in the eye.
Never look a gift horse in the mouth. Never look a goalkeeper
weird.
In the
that
eye.
That made me laugh, yeah.
Right, what do you think, James?
Yeah, it's changed the way I park forever. So, oh, yeah. What's the rating out of 10, guys? Just a number. Jack?
8.
Tash?
8.
James?
7. I've got to keep my reputation. Oof. I've got to keep being negative.
Yeah, true. As a bastard. I was going to give it a 7 as well, but because she's placed for Spurs, it's a 10.
Yes! So unfair.
10 all the way, 33 she's got in total, which means she's got eight and a quarter. I think the same as Grant Hull. I think it's the same as Grant Hull. Okay. Nice. Way at the top.
Very high standard of books so far this
yeah. Week. Very good. Very, very good. This week's quiz, Jack, you're called at One Back Head. Tash, you're at One Back's Head. And James, you're at Abby One Back Head. Okay? Remember that? Question one, who does Alex see in the waiting room when waiting for her ACL operation?
At One Back Head.
Yes, Jack, who is it?
Travis from Blink-182.
Is correct. Very good.
Yeah.
It's Travis so Parker. Weird. And she's like, oh, he must be good then. Why? Why?
No, she means the surgeon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, not that. Yeah.
But she not means Travis. Like the... Yeah.
Yeah.
He must be a great drummer if he's torn his ACL. Yeah. Which of these is a real player? A, Sharon Envelope. B, Shannon Box. Or C, Shannis Fracking Machine. Which is it?
Abby Wambach's head.
I think Jack was in the first two, is it?
It's obviously Box. It would be called a fracking machine, you stupid right. bastard.
Go, f*** you too.
See, Alex, this is what you made us do. Your we're too positivity inspired. Book.
We're too
confident.
We're
each other.
finally, question four. What is her cat's name?
Oh, Abby Wambackhead or whatever my name
you're
is.
You're so good at this. Who is it?
Should I tell you why? It's because I have your book and you wrote... what the questions were.
Jack's disqualified. Jack's a nerd. He's disqualified. Okay. It's between at Wambach's head and at Abby Wambach's head.
I know what the answer is, guys.
Don't care. You're disqualified.
No, I'm just saying. If
is
you
it
want the
baby horse.
No.
It isn't baby horse. Why would it be baby horse?
Because her nickname's baby
her
horse.
Name? That's her nickname.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It was. Yeah, right. Sorry.
Guys,
I thought it was a Taylor Swift thing.
I can give you her name. I can give you the name of the cat, but you have to give me at least three yays. Okay.
How do I kick Jack off the show?
Give me your yay and I'll tell you.
Okay, have it. Hand it okay. over. But I want the point, because then we're drawing.
It's Brooklyn.
You know what? Both of you disqualified for switching. Switching points. James, for the first time ever, I think, you've won.
He said yay. He's disqualified.
Like, yeah, you're all out. I win. Yeah.
I wonder if he's called Brooklyn because, like, why Brooklyn Beckham's called Brooklyn. Yeah.
Because he was conceived in Brooklyn. Well, you think she conceived her cat in Brooklyn, New York.
That's so disgusting. Sorry, Alex, when you listen to this. I'm not accusing you of bestiality.
And did I tell you I was married?
I'm just wondering, Alex Morgan, listening to this book, like this episode, being like, "Oh wow, I'm going to listen, see what the Brits think of me moving to Tottenham. I really hope it's good." And then she listens to us just swearing and accusing her of bestiality. Oh god, this is awful.
I gave her a motherfucking 10. Anyway, anyone has any thoughts on this? If you've read it or want to read along, message us reviews. Follow us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Football Book Club on Instagram. Review the podcast. Subscribe. Follow us, guys. Any last words?
Yay! Oh, yeehaw! That's a very
baby
good point.
Baby horse.
What a frustrating episode. Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Daniels, and James Baljan. It was created and produced by James Bug. Thanks to Alex Morgan for writing the book. But what are they all up to now? Well, since writing the book, Alex Morgan has won another World Cup, a Champions League, and achieved the most coveted prize of all in football, signing for Spurs. Abby Wambach has retired, but still has about 50 Twitter fan pages. Honestly, check it out. It's crazy. Including one bizarrely called Macklemore Wambach, which is the Macklemore Abby Wambach crossover no one asked for. Hope Solo has continued dancing and has now learned how to both whip and nene. And finally, Parking King Papa Morgan was in fact revealed to be the Stig. The Yeehaw sound effect was used under a Creative Commons 3.0 license from Shawshank73 at freesound.org. No changes were made to the audio. The music Lobby Time is the property of Kevin MacLeod at filmmusic.io and is used under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll see you next week for more Football Book Club. In the meantime, please review the podcast and subscribe. Bye-bye.